Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 50. Luke chapter 17, verse 50. And the word of the Lord says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." For just a little while, I want to talk about the power of praise.
Yeah.
The power of praise. Verse 11 deals with a purposed path because it talks about Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, passing through Samaria and Galilee. Verse 12 deals with some problemed people because there were 10 lepers there who stood afar off because they had leprosy. Verse 13 talks about a passionate plea because they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Verse 14 deals with the power to purify because he said, "Go show yourself unto the priest." And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. All right, verse 15 and 16 deals with profound praise. Verse 17 and 18 deals with praiseless people. And verse 19 deals with the privileges of praise. I want to walk back, if you will, and most of you all know the story, and I don't want the familiarity of the text to cause you to run ahead of me and miss the nuggets that the Lord has all through the text. One of the things that you're going to note is verse 11 starts off with, "And it came to pass."
Yeah.
In verse 14, that phrase is uttered again. In the middle of the verse, "And it came to pass as they went." Now, one of the things that I think is helpful about that phrase is to understand life in a larger context. And that is, everything, be it significant or not, came to pass. But generally, when you hear "and it came to pass," there is some significant moment, some significant event, some significant communication that the Word of God is trying to get over to the hearer. And what's so significant about "it came to pass"? Well, when you are struggling with the issues of life, you're dealing with a bad hand that you've been dealt with, you're going through some unforeseen and some unforeseeable things yet to come, and you don't know how you're going to handle them, just remember, "and it came to pass." I know some of you have been going through some things for a mighty long time now, and it seems like it's here to stay. But I got news for you. It came to pass. That's number one. But I also want you to note that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, but he went through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, it was a purposed path because Jesus wanted to be a blessing to those who couldn't get to him. What I love about the Lord is he knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with. And he shows up in your situation when you can't go to him. And so there he is making his way to the lepers who were placed off limits to society and to the public, and in a community of common illness that these men were, with various backgrounds, various issues and differences, but rather the main issue that brought them together was leprosy. So verse 12 tells us that they had a problem, and a problem that if not solved would have brought their lives to an immediate in. And so Jesus makes clear these people with problems he likes to make his way to. I want to encourage somebody today and say, if you got problems, you're a candidate for Jesus stopping by. Listen. Verse 13 says they made a passionate plea. And that passionate plea was, "Lord, have mercy." Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." Now, one of the things that I love about this passionate plea is you got to know who you want help from. And not be ashamed, be it private or publicly, to call his name. Now, listen at this. Now, if Jesus can make his way, go out of his way to get to you, then you ought to have sense enough to open up your mouth and call his name. If he redirects his route so that he passes by your place and you see him, hear him, sense him, feel him, then your responsibility is to call out to him for yourself. And those 10 men, they all called out for themselves that he would have mercy upon them. Verse 14 shows us the power, listen, to be able to purify them. Because when Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priests," he had already spiritually cleansed them. And he cleansed them, listen, underneath the skin, which gave them the freedom and liberty to go through the ceremonial cleaning that they had to go through by way of the Leviticus priests to pronounce them clean. Now listen at this. Just because they were cleansed, it meant that they didn't have leprosy anymore. But it didn't necessarily mean that they were healed of their body parts.
In other words, the longer they had leprosy, fingers would become disfigured and many of them would fall off and their flesh would turn white and there were sores and scabs and all kind of disfigurations to the body. But listen, if they were cleansed, if the Lord purified them inside, further progressive deterioration of the body would stop. But it didn't mean that limbs would grow back. When he said, go show yourselves to the priests, listen at this, they looked just like they looked before he told them to go. Are you hearing me here? When he said, go show yourselves to the priests, listen, they took what he said by faith, all of them, that they were cleansed because Jesus said, knowing that they knew what the process was, and go show yourselves to the priest, and they knew that the priest had to examine them and to declare them ceremonially clean before they could enter back into society, go back to their homes, go back to their jobs, live their normal life. They, listen, they weren't expecting anything more than to be cleansed. But the record is, and it came to pass, that as they went, they were cleansed. Now something happens now in this cleansing. The Bible says in verse 15, and one of them. Now all 10 of them were cleansed. But the record is, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Verse 16 says, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now let me tell you something about this, because we're talking about a profound praise here. What makes this praise so profound? First thing I want to tell you is his praise was personal. His praise was personal. What lesson can we learn out of this? 10 men were cleansed. This man saw the manifestation as he started walking on his way to show the priest that he was cleansed. He saw fingers growing back. He saw the mobility, the free movement of his limbs. The old preacher put it this way, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and they did. Are y'all gonna help me today? And they did too. And when he saw that he was healed, turned back. First thing I need you to understand, it was a personal praise because he was giving God praise and glory because it was what happened to him. Yes, sir. You see, our problem is a whole lot of us can't really get our praise on till somebody else start the party. As good as God has been to us, some of us are too, I don't know what the word is, because I don't want to offend nobody, but we can't open our mouths and say thank you unless somebody else opens up their mouths and say thank you. We can't give him praise for what we know he has done, and he's done some stuff for us that he may not have done for nobody else. And listen, because we know he's done it for us, we have a right and a responsibility to give him praise. What I love about him was he didn't wait on the other nine to join in with his praise party. He saw he was healed. He saw he was healed.
And he turned back.
Let me tell you what else makes this a profound praise. Not only was it a personal praise, but it's important to understand that it was a public praise. It was a public praise. See, that's another thing with us. We might give him praise, but not in the public. We all dignified. Praise the Lord. We sit there looking at people.
You don't take all of that. They need to sit down. I tell you, if they step on my foot, they can keep waving their hand, but if they hit me, it's going to be on up in the air.
You don't know what God brought that person through this week. You don't know if they could have been dead, sleeping in that grave. God altered the issues of life and caused them to see a brand new day, and they're just too excited to keep it to themselves, and they're not ashamed to tell God in the public, thank you. I know you've been good to me. Thank you. Listen at the word. He's on his way to show himself to the priest. He saw that he was healed and he turned back. And with a loud voice. Not no, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With a loud voice. Listen, that's just some things the Lord does for you. You don't care who hear you, who sees you, who knows about it, because you ain't trying to make it private. That's just some praises that can't wait till you get home. He's done some stuff for you right in the situation, right on the interstate, right on your job, right in front of your enemy that deserves praise right now. Ain't nobody got time for you to get back to your house and act all cute with the praise. Oh, I don't like that. That just ain't me. Well, you could have been dead sleeping in your grave, and that wouldn't have been you praising him in church on Sunday. I wish I had a helper in the house. His praise was profound because he learned how to praise him in the public. I ain't got nothing wrong with sophistication, with education, with elegance and all. It has its place. But it shouldn't interfere with the praise that belongs to God. So it was public praise. The third thing I want to tell you about this profound praise was it was purposed praise. He wasn't just screaming and hollering for nothing. I dare you to be deformed. Can't raise your hand. Fingers all crinkled. Some have fallen off. You've got nubs, or you can't even open up your hand. Can't even walk correctly. Knees begin to knock together as you put one foot and drag the other foot together to be on your way to show yourself to the priest. And every step gets a little easier.
Oh. 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 Oh.
and your arms start loosening up. And first gravity pulls them down by your side. And as you're walking with your arms by your side, you realize it's been so long since they fell by the side, you wondering if they fell off. And then realizing now you can move your fingers. Still walking. And you look at your hands and you wave your arms. And a little walk turns into a trot. And you realize God has done a new thing in you. You mean to tell me you're not gonna stop and say to the Lord right then and there, thank you. I have a hallelujah I just can't hold. Thank you. I got a praise I just can't put on pause. Thank you. And so the record is, he turned and with a loud voice glorified God. Now that's purpose praise, because he knew what he was doing. And while his hands were lifted up, not in surrender, but in victory. God be praised, to God be glory. Everybody knew who he was praising. And then he gets to Jesus. And the record is, and fell down on his face. At his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now listen at this. It was purpose praise, because he knew what God deserved and he knew what Jesus deserved. And he wasn't afraid to give either one of them their praise. He's on his face before Jesus. And he's thanking him. Because remember, he asked Jesus in the 13th verse to have mercy on him. Jesus has had mercy on him. And now, listen, in the 16th verse, he is thanking him. Thanking him. And then the word says, and he was a Samaritan. Now that don't mean much to most of you all who don't know biblical history and know the reality of what that meant. But Jews had a responsibility to receive all of the blessings and benefits that Jesus provided and to ask for them because they were children of God. And therefore, they were entitled to healings, deliverance, blessings, etc. But the Samaritans were not the people of God. And so the Samaritans whom Jesus purposed to go and visit in their situation was the one who cried out to Jesus, the one who turned back to Jesus. Listen to this. He was not a Jew, but a Samaritan. But what this tells me is that you don't have to belong to believe. He didn't belong to the family of the Israelites. He was not one of God's chosen people, but he believed in Jesus Christ. So now what that says is that you don't have to belong to this religion, to that denomination, to this church or the other church to believe in Jesus Christ. Because when you believe in Jesus Christ, listen, he does what the Word of God says he can do. I don't care what the denomination is. I don't care what the religion is. You don't have to belong to that to get blessed. But you do have to belong and know and believe in Jesus Christ. And he was a Samaritan brings this out because, listen to this, Jesus' own people did not turn around, did not stop, did not give him praise. Now, it is expected that once they got their ceremonial cleaning, because they were going to go through a ceremonial praise, where they had to give God praise and glory, that they did give him thanks. But that wasn't the kind of praise God wants. In other words, God don't want praise that's orchestrated by somebody else. Y'all not hearing me here today. God wants you to think of his goodness to you and want you to be so moved in your own spirit where you offer unto him the sacrifice of praise. That you are so moved that you tell him, thank you, Jesus, without having to have somebody lead you into a symphony of praise and worship. And so this non-Jew, this Samaritan, was the only one who did it. Look at the 17th verse. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Here's where the Samaritan is. He's on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. Listen, Jesus goes on to say, listen, as he, the Samaritan, is still down on his face, worshiping, giving praise, giving glory, giving thanksgiving, he doesn't even attempt to try and answer where the 9 went. Can I just tell you, sometime you ought to mind your own business.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do 3 things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT.
How Gina has the Alexandria. Mighty fallen? To give this a more comprehensive rendition or translation, it could very well read, why has the mighty fallen? For this is exactly what David is saying in his eulogy of Saul, King Saul, and his son Jonathan. And so we have chosen on this Sunday night to give a tribute to one whom we felt to have been a great American, a great president, a great spirit, or a great soul.